Busy morning after the Sabbath, and my family kept me busy for what seemed like forever. In the afternoon, I heard a commotion on the street outside. There was a man riding on a donkey coming up the street. And the people were singing and shouting as he went. Father grunted, and he said, "Now there's a king I'd follow, but he's mad. The Romans won't let things like this stand."
"Now there's a king I'd follow, but the Romans won't let things like this stand."
Father hated the king. Now I was curious. So I snuck out into the crowd as it passed, and before I knew it, I was swept up in the crowd. I decided there is nothing to do but sing along. I ended up outside the city with his followers. Father would be worried, but I couldn't get back home by myself at this time of night. So I rolled up on the ground and slept, thinking I'd follow this man people called Jesus back into the city in the morning. And I'm glad I did. The things I saw the next day, I'll never forget. On the way into the city, he went by a fig tree, and I heard him curse it.
Curse you.
I didn't understand, and from what I saw, neither did anyone else with him. But we soon forgot all about it. Because when we got to the city, he went straight to the temple. And do you know what he did? I'd heard Father curse the traitors up the court of the temple whenever we went up, and this Jesus, he attacked them with a whip! It was awesome! He chased them out of the courts. He trashed their tables. And he set all the animals loose.
Don't see me.
If that wasn't enough, I heard him speak to the blind beggar by the temple gates, and the man shouted that he could see.
I can see, yay!
And then he told one of the other men who begged outside the temple, the one whose legs didn't work, to get up and walk. And he did.
Go walk. Go walk.
I can walk!
I couldn't contain myself. All I could do was shout the song I'd heard yesterday. Hosanna to the Son of David. That night I went home and told Father what had happened. He said tomorrow we would go up to the temple to hear this Jesus speak.
Tomorrow we will go to the temple to hear Jesus speak.
I begged to come, and finally he said I could.
Fine.
It wasn't as much fun as the day before. All the old teachers were asking Jesus questions, and I didn't really understand any of them. But I could tell he was shooting them down. Jesus laughed at how uncomfortable some of the, or Father laughed at this, how comfortable some of the old teachers looked, and at what Jesus said. I asked Father why.
Why?
Something new is happening, dudes. He is telling them that their time is over like the fig tree.
I still didn't understand. Followed Jesus out of the city when he left. The house will mind itself for one day, Father had said. I want to hear what this Jesus has to say next.
The house will mind itself for one day. I want to hear what this Jesus has to say next.
So we went to Bethany to hear him speak. While he was there, this woman broke a jar of something Father said was really expensive on his feet. He said something about preparation for burial?
Something about preparation for burial.
Yeah, he knows the things he is saying will get us killed,
Father muttered. We went home that night to make sure the Passover preparations were underway. As we entered the city, I saw one of the men who was always following him around coming into the city after us, and he headed for the temple courts.
Thank you.
in the morning, we were finishing preparations for the Passover meal, when two men followed one of the servants in the door. I recognized them as two of the men who were always with Jesus. They told Father that the teacher wished to eat the Passover with his disciples. So Father showed them the prepared room upstairs, and they left. Now, I don't know everything that happened in that room, but I saw the same man who snuck into the city the night before hurry out partway through. And I heard Jesus say something about a new covenant. I'd been studying the scrolls, and I thought about the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the prophecies in the fifth book of Moses. God promised a new covenant with us. Father said, something new is happening.
Something new is happening.
Could this be it? The next day, the whole city was in an uproar. The temple guards, Herod's men, and the Roman soldiers were all out, and Jesus seemed to be at the center of it all. Father said that the chief priest was trying to get Jesus crucified. The Roman, Pilate, was hearing the case.
Crucify him!
We went to the court and heard him declare that Jesus had done nothing worthy of death.
He has done nothing wrong.
Then I thought there would be a riot, and Father began dragging me out of the crowd. As we left the court, Pilate relented and told them to crucify Jesus.
Crucify him.
We went out when he passed our home. He had been badly whipped, and they had to have another man carry his cross. I saw them take him up to the hill outside the city. Father said, "Go inside. This is nothing for a child to see." But I couldn't leave. Suddenly, the sky went dark like a storm. But there was no storm. It was dark for hours, night in the middle of the day. Finally, Jesus yelled something I didn't understand. I asked Father what he said. He told me, "Go study the Psalms of David." Then we said we must go home, as it would soon be. be the Sabbath. I looked at the dead man on the cross and wondered. God promised to make a new covenant with us. Jesus said this new covenant was here. But if he was dead, what good was it? Father and I were both tired and sad. But Father said the house of God was the best place to go when you were confused, tired, and sad. So we went. The priest had done the morning sacrifice, but we could see something was wrong. They were terrified. Father listened to them talk and asked some questions. It was hard to get it out of them, but eventually someone told him that the veil before the holy place was torn in half. It happened yesterday. At the ninth hour, when Jesus hung on the cross. I asked Father what it meant, and he told me to study the second book of Moses. Then we went home. I woke up thinking about how, just a week ago, I first saw Jesus riding into town. How he whipped the temple clean and told the lame and the blind to walk and to see. How he taught the teachers of the law what the law meant and how he declared a new covenant. How he stood before the Roman without a word. How his suffering seemed to darken the whole world. How his death tore the veil between the throne of God and his people. But what now, I thought? Who do we look to if it is time for something new? As I went about the heavy work that always followed the Sabbath, I heard a man outside tell Father, "Some women say his tomb is empty, that he is alive." Could it be true? Was Father right? Is it time for something new? A new life? A new covenant with God? A new creation? If he is alive, then everything will change. I don't understand what all this means, I thought. But I'm going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really empty, kids.
Yep.
Like,
that's cool. How did you do that?
Let's have another round of applause for these kids. She had a nightmare night before last that Beth and I walked out, and we stayed. Wasn't that nice of us? So, you know, if you want to visit the tombs of various religious founders, you can. They're there. If you're looking for, I don't know, say the cremated ashes of Buddha, they're buried underneath a monument in Kushinagar, India. If you're looking for the place where Krishna, the author of the Bhagavad Gita, usually considered the universal supreme being in Hinduism, he was killed by an arrow, and you can visit his grave site. It's near Gujarat, India. A lot of tombs in India for religious founders, because there are a lot of things. I'm not done yet. And if you want to visit Muhammad's bones, they're at a mosque called the Green Dome. It's in Medina. And if you really want to, you know, visit the ashes of L. Ron Hubbard, you have to go to the Pacific Ocean. They're scattered in the Pacific Ocean. So you can wade in there and make it a religious pilgrimage if you like. But if you want to visit the bones or the remains of Jesus, you can't. Mel and Debbie actually went to Israel, and they were in the tomb, and it's empty! Believe it or not, the tomb of Jesus is empty. And that's kind of important because if you think about it, everything that Jesus said rests upon whether or not he was going to rise from the dead. He said, if I do this, you can believe me. You can believe everything that I said, that I am the Son of God, and that what I'm about to do is significant. In fact, if you think about it, all the promises of God are to be fulfilled because of the resurrection. All of the promises throughout the Old Testament are fulfilled because of the resurrection. So that idea that we really can have peace with God, that we can have a relationship with Him, that our sins are wiped away, is fulfilled in the resurrection. So the fact that Jesus isn't there, and that we look at our calendars, and we see AD, and we see 2019, that means 2019, year of our Lord, Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. He's still alive. And everything, all of God's promises rest upon that. The promise that all our sins can be wiped clean, that we can have a relationship with Him, that His Spirit dwells in us and gives us the ability to live holy lives, pure lives. One of these days, every sin, every evil will be taken away because God promised it. And it was verified by Jesus' resurrection in the tomb. It's very, very important. And this goes all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve sinned against God. They were the first human beings, and they rebelled against God. They just got selfish. And God had a plan all the way through, culminating in the resurrection. He knew that we, given a chance, wouldn't be able to live holy, perfect, clean lives, and therefore would be separated from Him. We wouldn't be able to have a relationship with Him. And so Jesus turned reality on its head. The innocent dying for the guilty, and rising from the dead, showing the power of God in our lives. So that if we simply believe in Jesus and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our own lives, we can be considered clean in God's sight. Completely clean. Anything that you've done, no matter how horrible it may be. And believe me, we've heard some and we've done some horrible things. And God knows that. Every last thing. And that was wiped away on the cross. And access to God was granted through the resurrection. Are you grateful for that?
Amen.
Our Jesus is alive.
forevermore. And so the God that we worship, the Jesus that we worship, is a living Jesus who's able to save us and able to give us his Spirit so that we can serve him and know him and stand before God without shame, without guilt, completely free. And so here at City's Edge, we're grateful that you're here. We're grateful that you've come on this. If this is your first Sunday here, we're really grateful to have you. If you've just been a few, we're still grateful. If you've been here all the time, no. We're happy to have you too, Doug. Thank you for being here. Finally about that. No, we're grateful to have you here. And we just want you to know that this is a safe place to talk about whatever's in your mind and on your heart and that God has burdened you with or whatever you're struggling with. You can talk about here. We've done that because we are free. We have nothing to be ashamed of that God hasn't wiped away. Is that true? Yeah, that's true. All right, let's pray. Oh, and I just want to say, there are many people here that love to talk to you about this further. Doug right over here is one. I'm one. My wife in the back is another one. The narrator, the boy, the big one, the big boy, Mark, would be happy to talk to you. So we'd love to talk about this. We enjoy talking about this, answering questions, and just maybe filling in some holes in the ideas that you have and some thoughts. So we're glad you're here. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are alive, that we don't go to visit your grave and remember you as a great moral teacher, but we remember you because you talk to us. You've spoken to us through your word, and through the words of each other. And Lord God, we are grateful that you are here. It says where you say where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst of them. And Lord, we take that by faith because we need to, because faith is the way that pleases you. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for being here. We thank you for rising from the dead almost 2,000 years ago. And we thank you for each person that's here. We pray that they would come to know you in a deeper way. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much. Happy Easter.